I call this meeting to order at 5:02. Do we have a quorum?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Strobel asked to be excused for last-minute work-related conflict, and we are still expecting Commissioners Givens and Torres. With that, you have 6 members present. You do have a quorum. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So today, we first need to start with approval of the agenda and the minutes. And we do have a, I guess we'll go, should we go into the change to the agenda when it comes up?
Yes, you should ask for approval of agenda and then go into the amendment of that.
Okay. So do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. So we are going to have a slight change to the agenda. We are going to push the discussion and the authorization for public review and hearing date setting out to our next meeting in January. This for, did I say residential infill pilot? Oh, sorry. For the residential infill pilot program 2.0. So this is discussion item 2. We are going to actually push it out to January. And the reason we are doing this, just to give you guys a really brief explanation, is there has been some discussion amongst the IPS committee and staff and myself and Commissioner Strobel about some other things they would like to see considered for the pilot program. So to give staff some time to respond and work on language, we're going to push it out because we would rather put something out that's our best product than rush something. Do we have any objections to that? Okay. So can you amend your motion?
Yeah, so I would call for the question, and I would amend the motion to amend the agenda to remove number 2, residential infill pilot program 2.0, and we will postpone that to our January meeting.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any against? Okay, the agenda is approved. Now we need approval of the minutes.
I move we approve the minutes as written. The minutes for December 4th, that is, to 2019, as written.
Any discussion? All right, let's vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The motion passes. We will now move on to public comment. Since I don't see any members of the public in the audience, we were going to then now move on to our discussion item D1, which is the Human Rights Commission collaboration on housing issues. And Mr. Barnett will take the stand.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioners, happy last meeting of 2019. I know that there's not extra time just because the one item has been moved off the schedule. We have a lot to do. We've got presentations by Mr. Ian Muntz as the main attraction tonight. And of course, we are going to have some festivities starting at around 6 o'clock. So, I'm here to recap and provide some potential next steps for the commission from this discussion, which we had just last meeting. And I've got some brief background, but you all recall that the issue here is that Planning Commission is getting ready to do a body of work related to housing and planning for housing. We've got diverse housing types. We've got inclusionary zoning. We are talking about some pretty significant potential changes that will be part of the work program. Good evening, Commissioner. And as part of that, there are some equity and social justice links there. And we've already had that joint session with the Human Rights Commission, and there certainly seemed to be a lot of interest. Let me just say that was a great and far-ranging discussion at the last meeting. If anything, it might have been a little overwhelming to think about, wow, all these potential issues around equity and planning and zoning. So it was a big list, but what we've tried to do is to carve out a lane where we could have this joint collaboration between the two commissions on where is that crossover between equity and the planning issues that we're working on. And we also tried to slot that into the overall scope of work for these housing initiatives. And the commission has not yet actually seen the full scope of work. That's something that we're going to be coming and presenting to you at the next meeting, either in January or perhaps in February, depending on how schedules go with our schedule change. But we've got a high-level scope of work. We talked about this a little bit last time. And we've got several stages, starting from the initial scoping process, establishing a broad communication strategy, to understanding current circumstances, finally developing proposals and creating implementation strategies. And this would be a body of work that would occur over the course of about the next year, calendar year 2020, and not result at the end of that with planning comp plan and zoning changes, but would actually result with a recommendation to council of how to take that to the next step. So we've got this schedule start to map out. We'll be getting more input and direction from you at our next meeting on that scope. But we do think that we know enough to try and identify how equity and social justice could fit into that conversation and how the two commissions could work together. So when we talked at the last meeting, we talked about potential topics. There's lots of interest in making sure that we have a broad and inclusive community engagement strategy around this. There was significant interest in just improving communication across the two commissions and sharing information. And then in doing a policy analysis of equity, access to opportunity, and displacement risk, sort of the substantive issues that have to do with equity and growth strategy and zoning. We also talked a little bit about different potential ways to structure that. And long story short, we thought that we heard a significant amount of interest in creating a joint task force. And so we've prepared this preliminary scope of work for you all to consider and let us know if you think that's the right approach. And if so, we're prepared to ask the commission for a motion to designate seven members of the commission to work on this joint task force, and also to just give us a general concurrence or direction on how we would structure that moving forward. And so before I lay out the specific steps that we've recommended, I just wanted to say that we're not, it may sound like we've got just this nebulous giant issue. Let me just say that this is not uncharted territory. There are lots of other communities who are exploring the connection between growth strategy and equity. And I just put a couple of examples just as a sort of a teaser for commissioners who might be considering taking on this extra body of work, but important work around equity and the growth strategy. So everyone's familiar with Minneapolis and the work that they did around broadening out their single-family zoning to allow up to three family throughout the city. Well, they had a very explicit analysis around equity as well. And these are just a couple of excerpts that I borrowed from a PowerPoint slide from a conference. But the point that they made there was that the housing affordability problem in Minneapolis is a racial equity issue. So they came out and they, officially endorsed that position. But they said that only part of the solution for that massive social issue is around increasing housing supply and increasing housing choice. There's a group there that's gone down this road and staked out the crossover between these issues. And the map that you see on the screen there simply shows that when housing costs increase, it impacts lower income households more than moderate and high income households. And then it also shows that non-white households also tend to have lower incomes. So it's just a very clear connection between housing affordability challenges and non-white households. And that's part of the analysis that we would do here in Tacoma as well. So that's just an example. Another benchmarking community that we will certainly be looking at is Portland, who are just now soliciting comments on a pretty sweeping body of changes to their single-family zoning. And they came to much the same conclusion. more housing types and smaller size, and allowing it everywhere. Well, what does that equate to? More units, smaller units, less expensive units, and less displacement risk. So again, they drew this connection, and the slide there shows sort of with on the left, the blue line is with no change to their policies, and the yellow is if they adopt these changes, what would that do to displacement risk? And they concluded that that it would reduce displacement risk by opening up their single family zoning more broadly. So that's just to give you a sense of these very broad sweeping and somewhat emotionally charged issues. There is a pathway that we can follow to do this kind of analysis and do this kind of work. So with that, your packet was very simple, just one page where we tried to show what the overall scope of work for this project would be. And in the slide that you've got here, that's on the left-hand side. And you can see those four phases: scoping, current circumstances, developing the proposals, and implementation strategies. And we think that there's a clear pathway where this joint equity or housing equity task force could contribute at each of those stages. And so we proposed, there are nine different distinct steps there. And they include recommendations on how to make outreach really effective and broad and inclusive, identifying models and lessons from other communities. That's, a lot of that work staff has already done and will be bringing to this task force. And then doing an assessment of our current growth strategy and the equity issues and implications of our current growth strategy, identifying themes of how to potentially promote equity more broadly, a displacement risk analysis, and I say overseeing a displacement risk analysis because that will again be supported by staff and by consultants, and we'll be doing the technical work there. And then finally, the meat of it would be developing policy recommendations for potential changes to the city's growth strategy that would make some progress on equity and social justice issues. And then finally, once those recommendations are reported back to the two commissions, and the two commissions would be the official bodies making recommendations to the city council, well, this joint task force could continue to help to articulate these issues, help to perhaps advocate for the recommendations and be liaisons back to the community. So that's a path that we've charted out. It's a preliminary proposal. We also think that once this group gets together, there's going to be discussion and, there will be room for that. And we fully expect that a joint task force would, help to chart its course within this just general framework here. And we also have a very loose recommendation of how many meetings there might be at each of those stages. Again, that's going to be up to this joint task force once it's formed, if it's formed, I should say. And, all that stuff, staff would be there to support and help to work out the details of how this joint task force would want to work together. So tonight, we're hoping to get direction from the commission in the form of an official motion to designate this housing equity task force to give us any guidance that you have at this stage on that preliminary scope of work that I presented there. And then if there are members here who are interested in serving in that capacity, if they would indicate that interest and the commission could designate them. We also recognize not all the commissioners are here right at this moment who might be interested, so there could be some flexibility on the specific membership. No more than four planning commissioners should do this effort just to avoid having a quorum. And there are four members of the Human Rights Commission who have stepped forward. I should mention even that membership may change a little because they're having new commissioners on their commission starting in January. But they've committed to the process anyway, even if their specific memberships might change. So that is my presentation, and I thought I'd leave this slide up here to see if the commission has any interest or any questions about this, if this makes sense, and how you'd like to move forward.
Do we have any questions or comments for staff regarding the establishment of a equity housing task force? So basically, I'm just going to summarize. Then, if we were to decide to move forward with establishing a task force, whoever makes that motion might say something like this. We move that the Planning Commission establishes the Housing Equity Task Force jointly with representatives of the Human Rights Commission to provide focused input on equity and social justice issues as part of upcoming housing policy initiatives. That the Planning Commission concurs with the preliminary scope of work for the task force as presented, with the understanding that the scope of work substantively establishes the duties and responsibilities of the task force and is subject to modifications and designates commissioners. We had a list of possible commissioners. Since we can't check with everybody right now, we'll just designate four commissioners as the commission's representatives to the Joint Housing Equity Task Force.
So moved.
You have to make the motion.
Did because I just said so moved.
Oh, okay. Okay, we've been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes?
Yeah, thank you. I will bring up one thing, and it's not really so much in relation to this particular issue as it is in relation to all of our work. I notice I'm bringing this up during discussion. I'm not bringing it up beforehand. I think it's great that the way we're headed. As I look at the packets, I start to wonder quality versus quantity of our work. And I guess I would caution those people who are going to be on the task force that we have a lot coming up in 2020, and I would ask the staff, we have a lot coming up in 2020. If, in fact, the sub-area plan ever gets off the ground, this group is going to be here till 10 o'clock a lot of nights. And so I would caution everybody to say, this is a deep topic, and we could be in it, up here. And so I would ask, be gentle. I mean, we need people to stay on the commission, not to leave because they've been working, huge hours. So I will just say, I think we need to be, concerned about quality of our work versus the quantity of it. And it's easy to start saying, let's load everything on, let's let them resolve stuff. But, sooner or later, people start to melt down. So anyway, that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? All right, I call a vote. Those in favor of establishing a housing equity task force, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? All right, it passes. So we establish a housing equity task force.
And is there any direction on the specific members who are going to participate?
Volunteer to be a member. Commissioner Strobel has turned it down. He says he's got a little too much going on. The other suggestions that I don't want to... Yeah, you can volunteer. I mean, I've got two other names, but you can volunteer.
I'd love to.
Okay, so Commissioner Torres.
Yes.
And Commissioner Carnes.
Yes.
So we are psychic, yes.
That's two.
Two and me. Yeah. So that's three.
Yeah.
So would anybody else like to put their name in now? We don't have to have four. You can also think about it and volunteer at a later date, too. But if there's anybody who thinks they want to do it now, please.
I want to half volunteer. So the public engagement, I would really like to help with that. But as far as a full time, no.
Okay.
I think we can accept a half position.
All right.
Thank
Sounds
you.
Sounds good.
Wonderful. Vice Chair, thank you for your comments on the scope and or on the burden. We'll bear that in mind. That's real.
Thank you.
Yeah. And yeah, comments on the scope? Does that make sense for starters? Okay.
All right, we are good. All right. We will move on to discussion item 3, links to opportunity. So we'll have Mr. Muntz come up here for his second to last presentation to the Planning Commission.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Commission. Ian Muntz, Special Assistant to the Director of Planning and Development Services. I would like, with your permission, to start with D4, because as I'm sitting here, I'm realizing I'd like to start with the context first. And so what D4 is about is talking about, and this will really be a refresher course for most of you. I've been practicing under the Growth Management Act for 20-some years. What is unique in the central Puget Sound area, King, Snohomish, Pierce, and Kitsap County, is that there is the Puget Sound Regional Council that has to certify individual comprehensive plans and development regulations. In the rest of the state, it's pretty much a free-for-all. If no one appeals, you can proceed. But in central Puget Sound, there really is a regulatory mechanism. And PSRC, again, just to refresh you, is a grassroots organization. There is an executive board. Mayor Woodard sits on that. The county executive sits on that. There are representations from bigger cities and medium-sized cities. So, yeah, and it's a weighted vote. So at the end of the day, there's a weighted vote on something on the regional vision. We've been working for the last 10 years under Vision 2040. The development regulation, the comp plan, your comp plan, the development regulations, implementing actions all have to be consistent with Vision 2040. That's what we've been doing for the last 10 years. Failure to get certification is a failure to get transportation funds. Every 2 years, the gas tax money is allocated by the federal government. There's a regional competition and a county competition. If you don't have certified plans, you stand the risk of not getting funding. In many cases, there were conditional certifications. People had to make changes to come into compliance. So underneath the weighted vote of the executive board, then there are two major committees, Growth Management Policy Board, which is just what it sounds like, and Transportation Policy Board. Those meetings are much scrappier because everyone gets a single vote, big or small or medium-sized. And so those votes are important. They go up to the executive board. So we've been very fortunate that Councilmember Mello has actually been chairing the Growth Management Policy Board for the last couple of years and really led the push to get a recommendation forward on Vision 2050. So the structure, again, just to remind you, is the vision every 10 years. Out of vision comes an analysis of what policies can best drive comprehensive plans around the region. And every comprehensive plan has to be consistent with that. So a lot of effort going into getting language that it's pretty easy to get the big cities to do things. Moderate and smaller cities and counties tend to argue, well, we're special, it doesn't really apply to us, and shall really means should. It's very tiresome after year to hear those same arguments. In our case, our comp plan lines up really well with Vision 2040. In your package, you have a series of recommendations that the city staff brought forward to comment to PSRC, not just to have a regional equity strategy, but to implement a regional equity strategy, because Tacoma can't do it on its own. I mean, it needs to be the other players in Pierce County and across the region. So the structure is the executive board should adopt Vision 2050 next in May. Then each county will have to come up with its own county-wide planning policies that are consistent with the regional policies. So you can make some adjustments, but you have to be signed off as consistent. And that'll take up most of the next 18 months after that. And then that work will lead into the comprehensive plan update that your excellent team will be working with you on. And again, certification is the goal of both the plan and the development regulations. But the reason I'm up here tonight is to talk. This is going to go on for like 6 years. Unlike the shoreline management master plan that you're all involved with, the state says you have to do this, 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 and this. And then if you don't, they don't sign off. The Central Puget Sound approach is all very collaborative. let's negotiate, let's fight, let's disagree, but let's come up with something collaborative. And that takes a heck of a lot more work, frankly. And so just wanted to alert you to that. Part of the discussion towards the end of your package, there was a big discussion. I mean, you know, Pierce County has a unincorporated UGA outside the city that's almost twice the size of the city of Tacoma. And they currently have a proposal to upzone, a major upzone out there that many of you may be aware of. Part of this local collaborative process was to get the city and the county to sit down together and maybe negotiate some terms. And so the county started out with a very high figure, like close to 100,000. Councilman Mello led the discussions for the city. We ended up with an allocation for the next 20 years of 45,000 for the unincorporated UGA, plus 12,000 for building along Pack Avenue in the city and in the county around BRT. Because if I skip away from procedure and go to substance, we're basically looking at about 1.8 million more people moving to this region in the next 20 years. 1.8 million people. And so the whole focus of Vision 2050 is growing around transit. And whether you are in favor of ST3 or not, that $54 billion investment really is a game changer for land use planners, because the whole focus of Vision 2050 is to concentrate 65% of the population growth adjacent to those centers and 75% of the employment. So the whole Vision 2050 concept is growing around transit. And that ties into to what I've been talking about on Pack Avenue, as far as having upzones there, and the city may be doing some, the county is planning to do some. There's been a lot of, and I'll just close with a little sting in the tail. The big issue has been, do you upzone first and hope transit follows later, which is not a traditional planning process, or do you phase it and add zoning as you build out transit? And so the city has strongly favored building as far as transit, and you can see in the agreement that Councilman Romero reached with a couple of county council members that they are leaning towards a more phased transit-focused approach. They haven't committed to it, but they're leaning in that direction. So they will be in the same. So they will, you know, with lots of arguments on what it should be in the county-wide planning policies that we all have to follow. And then each jurisdiction will have to prove their work that they meet those policies. And we're not just talking, I mean, there are significant new changes in 2050 about climate change. Not just the whole big, long discussion about should we aspire to climate change or should we have some numeric targets. The PSRC is about to adopt some numeric targets that are in line with the Central Puget Sound Air Quality Organization. So I don't think it's going to be that difficult for the city of Tacoma, because we're two-thirds of the way there. But it is going to be a challenge for other jurisdictions who, some of them just don't want to do it. So I think Tacoma has been a leader. I'm just amazed that the Growth Management Policy Board was able to reach a unanimous verdict, vote motion. There was disagreements, but at the end of the day, there was agreement. The last issue that will affect go into next year and the executive board is that Snohomish County wanted to have about 6% rural growth, Pierce County agreed to drop their aspiration to 3%, to work towards 3% rural growth, which is very much appreciated and makes a lot more sense. The big difference, just to close on a substantive issue, Everett has a lot of theoretical capacity, but they've upzoned apartments over single-family neighborhoods. And so actually achieving their density, their targets, is much more difficult, because what comes out of Vision are numeric targets for each jurisdiction. And that, as a way to, we have to plan for those. You can have a little more than that, but you have to plan at least for the minimum of your allocation. So Everett has a challenge, and as a result, there's quite a push to have a lot more growth in South Snohomish County, to load up the freeways even more. So, but in our case, the focus is very much consistent with the city's plan, which is to redevelop around mixed-use centers in downtown. So I'd be happy to. This is a long presentation. I appreciate your patience, but I think that context is important because, as you know, you'll be saying, where did these countywide planning policies come from? Why do we have to follow, you know, how all of these things tie together? And this is really the almost the third decade of doing this work collaboratively and regionally, and wanted to bring it to your attention and be happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner Carnes.
Thank you, Ian. I'm a little curious about what exactly is set at this point. So are there growth allocations set for the county and for the city at this point in 2050?
Yes, Commissioner.
Okay. So in terms of the agreement that's been struck between PSRC and Pierce County, what exactly is that? From what I've read, it seems to me like what the county has agreed to is that growth should be focused around potential new bus rapid transit corridors that Pierce Transit would be exploring in the future.
That's correct.
Correct? Okay. They're currently in the process of updating their long-range plans, so is there a way of folding that process into PSRC's process, or is it going to sort of miss the gate?
That's the challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some good intentions on both sides, but there's a lot at stake as far as investment and where the investment goes, and where the population. We look at, and this kind of ties into the next item whenever you're ready to move on to that. I mean, these allocations are important because we're planning for the major amount of growth, and logic says you should put the major transit investments where the major growth is. And we still have this huge discussion going on between can you build your way out of congestion? And there are some people outside the city who actually think you can. Seems a little strange to some of us, but apparently if you just build enough roads, it'll all work. And so that discussion is not over. There are some glimmers of opportunity with this focus that you see in the package about can we just not do it around? But then there are huge areas out there that, as you well know, aren't in the transit district. So are they going to hold up development until the transit district's expanded? I mean, there are all sorts of questions that I'm retiring at the end of the year, so I wish you all the very best. I mean, it is going to be a struggle for the next couple of years. Because, as I say, people really, there are lots of jurisdictions who go, that doesn't apply to us, and you can't make us, and they don't feel we're all in this together. They feel that they're being picked on because, and then on the other hand, Tacoma has the attitude, well, why should we do it all? So, I mean, it's difficult stuff, and that's why Ryan thought it'd be good for me to sort of highlight those difficulties going in, because they'll be around for the next 2 or 3 years. So if I segue then to the next item.
Which can I actually throw in a question first?
Of course.
Yeah, thank you. At reading, so you jumped to Vision 2050,
right.
And so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions
about
it. In reading through it, there's discussion of jobs, but and maybe this ventures a little bit away from Planning Commission, but the thing that I always struggle with, and I'm just going to, I've got a lot of Tacoma brain power here, so I'm going to ask the question. What are we actually doing to make sure that the people that come here have a job in Tacoma or Pierce County? And is there an economic development board that's working on matters like this? But the concern I always have when I see things like this is, okay, great, so we're going to get more people here that can drive to Seattle to go to work. And that doesn't benefit us. And so my question is, where is that being handled, or is it being handled?
That is the crux of the issue. I mean, you've identified it's been discussed at meeting after meeting. We can sort of direct housing by zoning, but employment is a whole different issue.
Right.
The PSRC targets that we talked about earlier do try to bend the trend and have more employment in Snohomish and Pierce County, but it's like a 5% adjustment.
Right.
Councilmember Young, who's on the Growth Management Policy Board, and by the way, Commissioner Strobel is going to be on the Growth Management Policy Board next year, representing the Puyallup Tribe of Indians, so that's a real plus. But where I was going with that is that Councilmember Derek Young was outspoken in saying we have to do more, and there is some language that's in the draft plan that does look to Redmond and Bellevue to do more because to create housing in their backyard.
Right. I would like to see us do more because notably in the last 5 years, a lot of our companies have moved to, the east side in Seattle and our jobs with them. So it's a huge concern.
It's the, we're spending all this money and effort to, on transportation to get people to, decentralizing jobs would make the most sense. And the city of Tacoma and Pierce County are in total agreement. Every jurisdiction in Pierce County is in total agreement. I'm not being too flippant. We just need someone to figure out how we actually do that.
Right.
I mean, everyone seems to want to be in South Lake Union. I mean, and for years, planning literature has been full of the discussion of, well, people are going to go to secondary cities. Well, it still hasn't happened. I mean, people are still trying to get into San Francisco. They're getting into New York. And so cheaper property doesn't seem to be factoring into these decisions. It seems like these intellectual
property
folks want to be in the same place. We can do, there's still going to be decent manufacturing jobs. And I think when we have a huge opportunity at the Tide Flats to, 13% of the vacant industrial land in the region, either vacant or underutilized, is in the Tide Flats area. So it's not the high-tech work, but it is potentially family-wage jobs. So there's potential. The Economic Development Board, the Chamber, everyone would like to see what we can do, but there's some language that encourages it. But the King County folks aren't willing to say we're going to build an extra 200,000 units.
Right.
They're just not there.
Right.
They're willing to make some adjustments. And so the question is, can we figure out some imaginative ways to make ourselves more attractive?
Right.
And then everyone will support us. I mean, the great thing about the work that, and this gets into the next item when you're ready, people in the King County aren't trying to keep the jobs or attract more jobs. They'd be perfectly happy for them, a lot of them, to come down here. But they don't have any better idea than we do as to how to do that. But they are supporting us on transportation funding projects, on all sorts of other initiatives. It's just you put your finger on the most difficult issue. I mean, Councilman Young actually introduced a motion to demand this happen, and it got some, it didn't get accepted. I mean, it's just too radical.
Okay, then we will move on to discussion item D3 for real this time. Okay.
So again, I wanted to start with the regional context because the regional context sort of led to what we're talking about on this Links to Opportunity project. So coming out of this focus out of the Puget Regional Council about growing around transit and all the new transit stations coming in and BRT and other opportunities, coming out of that initiative, Puget Regional Council about 8 years ago competitively got some funding from the federal government to do a growing transit communities initiative. That initiative led them to give $500,000 to the city to do the South Downtown Sub-Area Plan. We went on to do the North Downtown Plan. Then Brian took the lead and did the Hilltop Sub-Area Plan. And it's back to, if you really want to compete for capital dollars, you have to be doing all the right steps. So, so we started regionally, got this initiative, got the money, $500,000, did the Sub-Area Plans. Then we successfully competed nationally. We were one of 10 projects that was selected 4 or 5 years ago to actually do a streetscape design on Hilltop, because the Tacoma Link Extension covers the station areas. It didn't cover the cracked sidewalks and all the issues and getting easily to that. And so the city secured $2 million out of $20 million nationally to do the streetscape. And we did that. We secured that because commission members like you all worked on the Tacoma Sub-Area Plan. I mean, those are the foundational works. If we want to compete for serious dollars, we need serious plans. And so the serious plan here was the Hilltop Plan. We submitted that as the background to the application. We got $2 million, and we used that to do a design a complete engineering design that is now complete for the Hilltop area. There will be a sort of a landscaping theme. There'll be a street furniture theme. There'll be concrete theme of different colors, and we have a public art component. What secured the funding for us was the commitment to do a lot more than we typically do on public projects. We actually formed a Hilltop Engagement Committee, which had 15 or 16 Hilltop stakeholders, very involved folks. And they guided the design principle. You have some schematics in your package, but I mean, the sort of quality of design that we were producing. Maybe I'll pass this around if I may. We actually put a whole series of design concepts together and took those either to community meetings or door-to-door to give people a sense of what was happening. Put a whole series of booklets together, different ideas. And at the end of, I'm forgetting the time period, but about 6 months ago, we got finished. And we've got community buy-in, 100% design. And as I think everyone up there knows, if you have a design project, you're like light years ahead of someone who just wants to do something. So we have an engineered project ready to be built. And again, coming back into this narrative about transit-oriented development, tying into transit, Sound Transit had a station access fund they set up under ST3 to actually spread some money out and invest beyond the stations. And so there was they allocated about $9 million for that to Pierce County. We secured $3.5 million of that for the Link Stopper. This is a good ending story. So we got $3.5 million from Sign Transit, and the city from four different funds brought the rest of the money together. So we have a fully funded project of $10.5 million to do the streetscape and totally redo the street. The most difficult thing is tying it in with the current work that's underway. We don't want to do things twice. But change orders are always challenging, and that's a work in progress. So we give ourselves and other people give us very high marks for our community outreach, whole new approach to getting real community buy-in. And I don't mean to be dismissive, but not just a couple of community meetings and here you go. I mean, we spent a year on this, and that was one of the reasons we were funded and why Sign Transit recognized us. Then the other initiative ties into some of the work you're doing, which was we worked with Sign Transit and Community and Economic Development to see how much we could maximize local opportunities for local businesses and actually expand employment opportunities. We did a lot of work on employment opportunities for Hilltop residents, particularly targeting construction jobs. And so a major initiative to try and see if the benefits from these projects, I mean, there's not a good history around the country. I mean, gentrification is real. Real effort to see how we can keep more of those benefits locally. So I think all of us who are involved in that, which is just about everyone, are really proud of the work we've done. And again, I just wanted to, on a closing note, to say long-range planning is not quite as exciting as a rezone change, but over 10 years, if you do it right, there are results to pay off. And we did the same thing down in the Dome District with the new Amtrak station. Got a design that the community wanted, not the one that WatchDOT wanted. And I could go on, but Brian's leading the effort now to see how the new Tacoma Dome link extension, the Central Link extension stations will tie in down there. So, but again, the sub-area plans that you do provide the framework for what follows. And if you don't have that work, you don't even get to the table to request capital dollars.
All right. Does anybody have any questions? Commissioner Santoff.
I'm very excited to see this project moving forward and glad that the planning policies have been put forward in such a way that they've been able to leverage that much funding. An excellent thing. Two brief comments. One is the renderings and things that you provided are excellent. One thing I see in those renderings is cafes or restaurant with sidewalk style seating. Yep. And I'm glad that's being kind of envisioned. I think anything we can do to kind of streamline the process for those businesses, more easily getting whatever permits are required to occupy those sidewalks and making that really clear and straightforward to them is important as part of that revitalization and energizing the street. So I'm glad that's incorporated.
No, that's absolutely central, Commissioner. And then adding public art in. And the other thing I didn't mention is out of this came the whole notion of having public Wi-Fi up on Hilltop, and the city's moving on, down that path.
Yeah, if you would expand the public Wi-Fi for about half a block, you would hit my home as well. So, my other comment, though, is about, I guess it was 10 years ago, I helped organize a historic walking tour of mm-hmm. MLK, and there had been previous tours that had been done as well. And there's a lot of rich architecture that's still there.
But absolutely.
Some great architecture that was lost in the past, and in particular, MLK had some incredible signage on it, and we're lucky to still have Johnson Candy up there, which I hope at some point will be landmarked and stay a fixture in the community. But there was Olympic Dairy up there, which had a three-story milk bottle, neon milk bottle on the corner of the building. You had Sunrise Bakery that had a giant rolling pin as a marquee.
Okay.
And, you know, it was a really active and vibrant street, and it has a lot of character to it now, but I think this project is setting the stage for it to really be an important part of our community again. And as we make these investments, I'm reminded of the fact that, you know, we've been able to landmark a few significant structures up there, but an effort of making sure that we're trying to preserve a few other key signature buildings should be kind of part of this effort of engagement with the community. And both preserving those buildings as well as making sure we're kind of incorporating or acknowledging the rich history that's up there as part of our streetscape projects or other improvements that we're doing.
That's just great. I will pass that on to Mr. McKnight and see if we can make some extra effort on the historic buildings. But there actually are going to be some inlaid discs in the sidewalk with quotes from different folks who've tied into the Hilltop area. So we're trying to expand that historic theme in the streetscape design. But your notion about doing more to preserve existing buildings, we can sure take a look at. Thank you.
Commissioner Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to echo Brian, but I know I'm not supposed to say that. Brett. Him. I did. I was particularly pleased also with the frontage, building frontage area designation and the idea of using parking spots during the summer. It's going to encourage a lot of community interaction. Great work on this. I also want to say that your institutional knowledge and experience with the comp plan is highly valuable to this city, and I am hopeful that you will remain available for us at our beck and call, but probably when we need you.
I have taken on quite a few volunteer operations.
Is that a yes or a no?
It's a maybe, because I've committed to some other things.
Okay, well,
thank you. I appreciate I do appreciate the compliment. I'd like to just rest on that compliment. Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Carnes.
Ian, so did I hear you right that we were at 100% design, or is that a?
I mean, as close as can be.
Close to 100% design. Okay. So what I'm really interested in ensuring that the Tacoma Link, the extension of Tacoma Link, since that's going to be high frequency service, that we can find ways to integrate other local transit service into that project to sort of spread the mobility benefits of Tacoma Link. And so I'm curious as to what additional things staff might be able to do moving forward with this project to sort of integrate, Pierce Transit stops at key intersections between between Tacoma Link and Pierce Transit that are very close to this project. Is there some guidance that you could give us in terms of what that next step might be?
The most straightforward thing would be, depending on your schedule, if you could invite someone from Pierce Transit to come and explain what they're doing. I mean, they were involved with the process from the beginning, and they said, well, we're not really quite ready to commit to moving routes and doing things, but that's an item for later. So you could either request a written update from them or an in-person update as to that. I think that would be very, very useful.
Okay. Thanks.
Commissioner Givens.
Okay, I'm super thrilled about this, especially I like how through the city we're starting to match the public realm to match the intended, you know, character around there. So this does that, especially like also in Lincoln. So one thing I don't understand is like if someone were to do an infill project and then they would impact the streetscape that we're just now putting in, do we have like a pattern book or do we have a set of plans that you give to a contractor or give to a developer and go make sure that you build the street or the sidewalks to match this?
So two answers. One, for the projects that we're aware of, we are coordinating that with the design right now. So there are three or four projects that are either in permits or pre-application that we're talking to about continuing the theme, but we don't have a pattern book for them, but we have how can we accommodate your work with our streetscape? I don't know what happens with new projects. That's a great question.
I mean, that just might be something that I'm talking to the rest of the...
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Just the other commissioners. I mean, because that's one of those like important things that kind of falls through the cracks sometimes, because sometimes infill sites come in, they go on the cheap, and they say, well, where does it say that in the code? And if it's not in the code, then, you know, that's what happens.
No, it's excellent. Thank you. You're going to address that?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Keep leaving all these things on the table. We got pizza doesn't show up for 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to sit down, Ian. They probably have more goodies for you.
I was just going to mention on that one, and I'll respond later to a few of the other ones, but the design manual that we have for new streets does reference if we have individual streetscape plans for specific areas, new infrastructure coming in is required to meet that. So that is at some level already addressed for these situations where we actually have an identified plan. We just don't have very many where that's the case, but this is one of those unique circumstances. Lincoln would be another one, so...
All right. Commissioner Horn.
I think everything you presented is great. I'm trying to start a business up on 11th and MLK, so all this information is, I think, very
and that's
surprising to me because I haven't heard it before, really, but it's very pleasing to know that there's so much activity going, so much design work going on.
We'd love to see more local. I mean, when the community economic development is really... Talk to them if you need some help, because we really want to see as much benefit flow locally as possible.
Okay. The only question I had was, and I didn't see it when I skimmed through the packet, was any emphasis, we're speaking of climate change and Vision 2050, emphasis on sustainability and that type of materials being used, permeable pavements, things like that?
The city has its own task force or commission working on those issues. It's just going to be that Vision 2050 is going to push transit agencies to do more electric buses. It's going to push more, hopefully discourage more road building with single occupancy vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
We're going down that path, and Tacoma will be going down that path faster than other jurisdictions.
Okay, so is there any specific design requirements or mentions of, you know, sustainable design materials being used within this project specifically, or is it just a reference to whatever the city already has in place and other?
I would have to look into that some more, Commissioner. I don't want to give you the wrong answer, but I mean, I suspect the answer is absolutely yes, but I because it was done very thoughtfully.
Okay, thank you,
Commissioner McGinnis.
Thank you. Mine's quick. I noted that there's two currently vacancies on the HEC. One of them is the Hilltop Business Association. And so I love the layout, but I wonder if there's that vacancy, have they had an opportunity to take a look at this and comment on it?
I think you're dealing with an older list because we wrapped up the committee and thanked them 6 months ago.
Oh, okay.
So we're good.
Okay, so has the Hilltop Business Association seen it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Unlike some other commissions, the City Council wanted to do individual selections and individual appointments, and it became a little cumbersome.
Yeah.
So we had representation from the Business Association all the way. And like three or four members of the Hilltop Engagement Committee were also active in the Business Association.
Okay. Perfect.
So,
Thank you.
We did cover that base.
All right.
Sorry, one more question.
Push your cards.
So what's the project phasing, the scheduling in terms of construction? Is that timeline set to be prior to the opening of Tacoma, the Hilltop Link extension, or what?
That's the second most difficult question of the evening. Because when we got funding for this, we actually waited 2 years to get authorization to fund this, and that got us behind. And because, as you all know, the construction's underway. And so we have to, and I don't want to say, I really respectfully don't want to say too much. There's a question of how much can we do through change orders with the existing contractor, and that's always, as you all know, difficult. So the intent would be to coordinate and do it once, but we're a long way from being able to tell you we're going to be able to do that.
And I can tell you for a fact that since I served on the Citizen Oversight Panel for Sound Transit, that the Hilltop Link extension has been hit with a number of different change orders having to do with utility relocation work. So piling on additional changes to that contract might prove to impact the schedule of the overall project.
But respectfully, I think it's... The link will open. It's a question of how much, I believe in 2022, how much of the streetscape will be done by then is the question. But there's been no discussion about delaying. Someone would hurt me if I even suggested it. So physical hurt is not good. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I see that our pizza is here. So I'm going to move that we take a break unless Brian protests.
Can we just finish?
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Like, you've got 20 seconds.
20 seconds. I guess following on that, I just recognizing tonight is Ian's last meeting, as he said. So we provided him this wonderful opportunity to come up and download a little bit. Just certainly want to express our appreciation for all of his work over 11 years or so now. Obviously, lots of change. He's been the city's lead at the regional level, countywide level. So a lot of the city's progress, certainly at that context in our working with Pierce County, with King County and others, is to his credit. So it's been wonderful to work with him. He's been a great asset, as was mentioned, to all of us at the staff level, certainly as well as to the commission, the council, the community, and all of those. So,
thank you.
So just a couple of quick communication items, I guess, before we close out. The main thing is for the next meeting, I know it was talked about, there's two items on here. Obviously, we talked earlier about adding in the infill pilot program, so that would be on the meeting in January as well. On the MLK stuff, I would note on the historic side of things, I think that Commissioner Santoff brought up, there is a growing effort on the part of the Historic Preservation Program to look at that. We know that as we have started and now are continuing to see growth, particularly in the mixed-use centers, that those all also happen to be an area where we have a lot of historic character, some protected, some not, much not, in fact. And so actually, as part of the mitigation funds that we got from the temple that was torn down up in the Stadium District, the city contracted with Historic Tacoma, and they're out currently working on doing an assessment in the Proctor District as kind of the first test case to look at this issue and try to identify what some of those important character buildings are and then see what sort of response the city might be able to provide for that. The other piece down in the Dome District that's related is, and this may be something that comes forward for commission consideration at some point, is the ULI, the Urban Land Institute, just recently completed a technical assistance panel down there that's feeding into the TOD advisory group's work. But one of the things that they brought up in the Dome District was a very similar issue of, if things work out, we put in the transit investments and lots of growth happens, like has been the vision for a long time, there are some historic character buildings down there that are not necessarily protected. And so one of the mechanisms potentially to look at is a transfer of development rights concept is one of the things that they throw out to say, well, maybe within districts you could look at how you might provide incentives to build higher in some places in exchange for preserving other buildings. So that may ultimately be a tweak to a TDR program here at some point. Would not surprise me. The street cafes, actually there's discussion going on about street cafes too, partly coming out of McMiniman's. We did a pilot project with them. Obviously it's much larger there than we had ever done before. And so that is something that we are now evaluating and studying. Council's had a lot of interest in promoting that as well and trying to make the street cafe permitting process as easy as possible. And then on the Commissioner Carnes on the hilltop connections to transit, absolutely a great issue. You will recall we had Pierce Transit here 2 months ago or so, right? Which was sort of like the very initial, very high level discussion about the long range plan. And I think it would make perfect sense. We'll see where they are in the process, but my guess is there is a good opportunity here in February or March or somewhere maybe right in there in their long-range plan process to have them come back and report in on where they are in that, what they've been hearing from the community, and certainly an opportunity for both the Planning Commission and probably the Transportation Commission, again, to sort of weigh in and provide some input. So those are really great things. At the council level, just a couple of quick notes, and this gets a little bit to Vice Chair's comment about meltdown. I wrote that one down with a couple of exclamation points. So this will be an important consideration moving forward. We are obviously have the tide flat subway plan, I assume is the one you're referring to. At the same time, we do look like now we have a path forward for moving on the Pacific Avenue corridor plan. So that one is likely to be starting up also, you know, March, April, May, June, somewhere in that range this next year once we have staff on board and consultants under contract. But that will be another, obviously, significant work effort tied to the BRT corridor planning that's going there. So there are definitely some big projects. There are lots. We know affordable housing is going to continue to be a huge issue. There was a big discussion with council over the last couple of months, and including on Tuesday, about the multifamily tax exemption program and potential modifications to that, which turned into a big conversation about mixed-use centers and parking and design and density and all sorts of really intertwined issues with growth and development. So no doubt, as we continue to see growth, we are going to continue to see a significant push on you all as well as on staff. So to that extent, I guess I, at the end of the year, right, take the opportunity to express my appreciation for all of your energy, all of your effort, all of your hours. Lots of good stuff over the last year that this commission has been a big part of. You know, things like the accessory dwelling units, you know, a really big deal. The JBLM airport overlay, the annual amendments that included the residential rezone project, which, you know, at some level was not that sexy, but probably the biggest rezone in over 10 years that we've processed. Historic preservation stuff, the Manitou annexation, you know, lots of big stuff. At the same time, the extra community outreach and engagement, which the commission, I think, in large part, was a significant piece of pushing along the in-district meet hearing that we had for the airport overlay, I think was a really great improvement, as well as all the open house, the five district-based open houses that we did for the annual amendments, in particular that rezone project. So, again, lots of great work. My hat off to all of you for all the time that you put in. We absolutely very much appreciate all of that. This community's come a long way. You all have been a big part of that, and certainly there will be lots more time to work on that as we look forward into the future. So, again, my very much appreciation.
All right, thank you. If staff doesn't have anything to add, and we've got one staff out of the room coughing, so I'm going to adjourn the meeting.
Oh, nope. One last thing. Be ready for our, for those of you who are new on the commission, we do lunch meetings with commissioners, usually January, February. You'll be getting invites from Wong or inquiries about when we might schedule those. So we can talk about whatever your passions are. We can talk about all kinds of good stuff. We can also talk about how to be efficient and with timing. So always a good issue.
I forgot about those.
All right.
Did you just eat all the pizza?
Okay, we adjourn.